Hello, everybody. It's great to see you guys again. For those of you who weren't here with us last week, I'm Wayne. I'm the better looking Isgrig, actually, and so it's good to be with you. No, I'm just playing with y'all. Hey, it's really nice. Hello to all of you joining us online. Thanks for being with us today, and of course those of you here in the worship center. It's good to see you. If you weren't here with us last week, we started a new sermon series, and you have some notes in your outline. You can follow along with me. But this sermon series is called Prayer, Unlocking Life's Possibilities. And what we're talking about is we're talking about spiritual growth and how knowing God's Word at a deeper level will strengthen our prayer life. All right, so today is part two, and today we're going to talk about how to recognize God's voice. Now, as believers, so often, if you're like me, we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray some more, and we read of these promises of God in Scripture. And so we're praying and we think, okay, God, when am I going to have one of these promises actually come true in my life? Right? We think these prayers and these scriptures are supposed to help us in our Christian lives. So we pray, and then they don't. Have you ever had that happen? That it doesn't come forth. And it's like, what's going on here? But what if? But what if, friends? What if the specific promise that we're reading about in the Bible, what if it wasn't actually meant for me personally? Like, what if it was only meant for someone else? What if God never intended for the specific promise that we're reading in Scripture to be for me and my situation that I have going on in my life? See, here's what happens, friends. This is where some people get sideways in their Christian walk. Here's the truth. I have to understand that just because the Bible says it does not necessarily mean that the promise that's written is for me personally. So as we're pursuing God and we're wanting to increase in our understanding of Scripture and we want to deepen our prayer life this year, it is true that if we get to know God's Word, we will get stronger. That is true. So the question I want to ask you right now is do you want God to bless your life in a mighty way? And I think your answer is yes. Well, to receive those blessings, we have to prepare our minds, we have to prepare our field to receive the rain. So here we go. Open up your Bible, if you would, to the book of John in the New Testament, John chapter 14. We're going to spend some time in the book of John today, and we'll look at Matthew as well. All right? And as you're looking up John chapter 14, let me tell you that, give or take, depending on what version of the Scripture that you read, give or take, there's approximately 7,000 promises made in Scripture. That's a lot. 7,000. And so the question now becomes, like, which one of those are for me? And if not, which ones can I claim? Right? So maybe this is part of your life story. Yeah, I know it's been for me. You read a promise in Scripture, you claimed it in the name of Jesus, and then it didn't work out. And as a result, if we're all honest with each other, for me, this was true. Your faith was kind of tested, and then it was somewhat strained. Because maybe you were left scratching your head just like I was in the quietness of your quiet time or whatever, scratching your head and then wondering, God, can you even really be trusted? That's been part of my journey. So here's an example of what we can talk about, all right? A promise that many believers have read and they've claimed in their life. And then on the back end, there was some difficulty and it just kind of didn't work out. So look with me, if you would, John chapter 14, verse 14. It's in your notes. Follow along with me. It says this. Jesus is talking and he says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, let's just pause right there. I once knew a man who was very sick. He read this scripture, he claimed this promise, and then he stopped taking his medication. 3 days later, what happened? He died. And it's like, no, my friends, don't stop taking your medication. You need this. I mean, yeah, we do believe that God can do miracles. We believe that he can heal people. Absolutely. But brother, he gave you this doctor and he gave you this medication for a reason. So now the question becomes, well, did God fail this friend of mine? Was this promise right here in John chapter 14, verse 14, was this not for him? How come God didn't heal him? So in your outline, here becomes the question. You see it there. Why don't the promises found in Scripture always work? Great question. I'm sure many of us have had that from time to time in our walk with God. Here's the answer. You have it there in your outline. Because there's a misconception that people have. Here it is. You cannot automatically claim a promise that's been given to somebody else in the Bible unless the Holy Spirit gives it to you. Does that make sense, friends? It only works when the Holy Spirit gives you the promise directly. And we will see some examples of that very shortly. So in your outline here, let's talk about a couple of ways that God talks to us. Number one in your outline, ways in which he talks to us. The New Testament was written in Greek. And there are two words in the Greek language for the word. And if you've been in church a long time, some of this might sound familiar, but letter A in your outline, okay, is there's a universal word, okay, and this word goes to everybody. You read something in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? God is talking to us, and it's for everybody, okay? So you could write the word everyone in for letter A. And this word is logos, okay? I put it there in your notes for you, logos. And logos simply means the general word of God. Now, specifically, these are the words that you see written in the entire Bible. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is logos. Y'all with me so far? Okay. This is the foundation for us as believers. We believe as Baptist Christians that everything in the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God from cover to cover. Everything is trustworthy and everything is accurate. Okay, now the second one, letter B in your outline, this is a personal word from God to individuals, and the Greek word for that is rhema. Everybody say that with me, nice and loud. Rhema. 1, 2, 3.
Rhema.
Rhema. That's right. This is a personal word from God just to you and only you. It's not for someone else. It's not for your sister. It's not for your brother. It's not for your cousin. It's just the Lord talking to you. So two Greek words, logos, rhema. Everyone, personal. So imagine you have a funnel, right? You put oil in your car or something like that. You got a funnel. And so what God does is he takes the general word, his universal truth that we see in Scripture, the logos, and he funnels it directly to us. Ultimately, when you read Scripture, God gives you personally a word from him, a rhema. And then right here, when that happens and you get this personal revelation, This is where all the good stuff, the miracles, the blessings from God, whatever, this is where they begin to give you, they give me, they give us guidance and our personal direction in life. Let me give you an example from Scripture. Back in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham and Sarah. So, is this a logos or a rhema? Is this a general promise to everyone or a personal promise to an individual? The answer is rhema, right? The story. Abraham, hey, guess what? You're going to be a dad at 99 years of age. And your wife, Sarah, who's 90, is going to have a baby. Ladies, interested? At this point, some of you are like, nah. I mean, my wife is 49 years old and she does not want to have any more children. Our last one's right there in the front row next to his uncle, right? So she's not interested in this at all. And I don't think you are either. But could you imagine how Sarah felt when God said, hey, guess what, Sarah? I got news for you. Personal word, not something for everybody, right? So I don't know of a single woman in the world that is praying and praying and praying at 90, Lord, can I please have a baby? I just don't think we have a struggle there, right? But what about healing? Oh, we know lots of people that want healing in their life. Someone we love is hurting. Someone that we know is sick. And so we read a promise in the Scripture about Jesus healing the sick, and then we claim it in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't work out. And see, this is where a lot of people get mad at God, and some even turn their back on God and say, God cannot be trusted. Now, why is that? How does that happen? It's because they didn't realize that the promise that was made here in the text, it was not their personal rhema. See, no one wants to claim Sarah's promise. But when it comes to physical healing or financial relief or something like that, in those areas, man, we're all over that. We want to claim those promises now. And so we wrestle with discerning God's general promises, the logos, from an individual promise, the rhema. So y'all with me so far? Okay, look at John chapter 15 now. Just go to the next chapter. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Jesus is still talking. Here's what he says. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now watch this. Verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words, now let's pause right there. Not logos, rhema. If you remain in me and my rhema remains in you, right? In other words, my specific instructions to you, my personal words to you. If my rhema remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so here we have a key piece to the puzzle here, my friends. There are two parts to this. When God's personal words, right, the rhema, when they remain in us, and when we remain in him, what that means is we keep our lives in alignment to his directions. And we're obedient to what he tells us. What does he guarantee? Right here in Scripture, he says he will answer our prayers. It is his promise to us. Now this leads us to number two in your outline. Let's dive a little bit deeper on this. Jesus said, if you remain in me, and my personal word remains in you, you'll be blessed. So Jesus gave his disciples personal words, personal promises, and he intentionally told them to stay connected to him, right? To abide in him, and he would give them what they ask. So let me give you an illustration. Remember our good friend Peter, Jesus's buddy, right? Jesus goes off and Peter and the disciples, they were all in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Now, let me pause. I was on the Sea of Galilee a couple years back. This is an interesting body of water. It's kind of choppy water out there, okay? So here's the guys. They're on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and then they see someone walking on the water coming to them. Scripture tells us they thought it was a ghost because nobody does that. And so Peter says in Matthew chapter 14, right, you see in your notes here, Matthew 14, verse 28, he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And then verse 29, Jesus says, come. So what does Peter do? He gets out of the boat and he walked on the water for a little bit. And then we go on to learn that he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sinks. And you can read the story right there. But here's the question, my friends. How many of the other disciples got out of the boat and walked on the water? The answer? Zero. Now, why not? Because Jesus' word was not for the other disciples. It was just to Peter. All of them understood this in real time. They knew that Jesus was just talking to our good friend over here. He's not talking to me. It was a rhema just for Peter. Now, in all seriousness, none of us are going to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Right? None of us are going to claim Sarah's promise, giving birth at 90 years of age. None of us are going to do any of these things. Why? Because we all understood and we understand that like those promises were just meant for those people. But here's what's interesting. In the account of the temptation of Jesus, Satan tried to do the exact same thing to our Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to claim a general promise, a logos, and give it as a rhema to Jesus. That accounts in Matthew chapter 4 if you want to read it. But the gist is this. Satan takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and he tells Jesus to jump off. And what Satan does is Satan quotes Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. And you can see the quote right here in Matthew 4, 6. I put it in your notes. Satan told Jesus, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot on a stone. And Jesus, in that moment, he put Satan in his place, and he told him that he was not to put the Lord to the test. Because Jesus understood this very thing that we're saying today. God the Father did not give Jesus the Son this personal word. What was written in Psalm 91 was for a different time, a different place, and a completely different situation. So we have this idea. There is a difference between the Logos and the Rhema. So if we're going to unlock life's possibilities, we're going to strengthen our prayer life, we got to know the difference between these two. It's essential. And if you want to discern God's voice into your life, my brothers, my sisters, it's essential that you know the difference between these two. So let's dive into that a little bit more. Number three in your outline. How does God speak to me personally? And I put this there in your outline. It's up here on the screen as well. This is super important that we get this because this is the key to miracles in life. It's the key to understanding God's will. It is the key to difficult decisions. It is the key to having faith in what seems like a hopeless situation. I cannot use the term key enough here. In our spiritual life, discerning the Lord's voice is the key part of knowing God's will and Him guiding us and directing us. I believe God spoke in the Old Testament. Do you believe that? We see it. I believe it. I believe He also spoke in the New Testament. I see it in Scripture. Do I believe that He still speaks in 2026 as well? I believe that. Do you? Hopefully so. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. The Holy Spirit has a job description. Now, if we go back in our Bible now to John chapter 14, we're going to see a little bit about this now. So here are a couple of verses to help us understand how God speaks to us. Holy Spirit has a job description. There's two items found in John chapter 14, verse 26. Scripture says this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Now this is Jesus talking. He says what He's going to do. He will what, church? He will teach you. Teach you what? It says right here. All things. Now let's just stop real quick. Is He going to teach us a few things? No. Is He going to teach us some things? Is He going to teach us many things? Or will He teach us all things? Very important that we get that. Because when God says all things, what does He mean? All things, right? He will teach you all things. And then He says this. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. Huh, that's pretty interesting. So right here today in 2026, you and I, we have an advantage that the disciples of Jesus, they did not have when the Lord was speaking this in real time. What we have the written Scripture. Oh, man, that's awesome. We have the whole Bible. They didn't have that. So when they're hearing Jesus say this in real time, they're thinking about what Jesus had been teaching them along their journeys and what He's been saying to them and all these things. But we have this bigger perspective of the whole counsel of God. We have the written Bible. So this verse here in John 14, this means something totally different to us today than the guys back then. Right now, we have the idea of knowing that when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to teach us and He's going to remind us. That's huge. He's going to remind us of everything that we have learned thus far on our Christian journey. My friend, how long have you been walking with Jesus? Some of you have been walking a long time. Does the Holy Spirit still remind you of the things that He's taught you in the past? Absolutely He does. Third job of the Holy Spirit. Couple chapters later, John chapter 16. Jesus is saying here in verse 13, He says, "But when He," meaning the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, "when He comes," what's He going to do? He's also going to guide you into all what, church? Truth. Huh. So the Holy Spirit, God Himself, is going to lead you, He's going to prompt you, He's going to convict you, and He's going to call you into the will of God in your life. And He's going to do this relentlessly. So let's put it all together. Holy Spirit is going to teach us. teach us what? All things. He's going to remind us of what? Everything. And he's going to guide us where? Into all truth. My friends, right here in the New Testament, we see this is how God talks to us. And now that we know this, it's really, really important to keep these three ideas, these three job descriptions, if you will, of what the Holy Spirit does, keep them right in front of us as we develop our prayer life. And what we'll do is we'll see how God is going to speak to us and give us personal remas as we read his logos. Are you all with me so far today? Okay. So with that in mind, now let's look at number four in your outline. So God takes the logos and he turns it into a rema, and this is what we call illumination. Now, if you've been in church a long time, this is not a scary word. But for some people who are new to Jesus, who are new to church, illumination, they might go, wait, what, Brother Wayne? Illumination? Doesn't that sound a little bit mystical? No, I get that. But this is actually a very Christian thing, illumination. So let's envision this. The Holy Spirit is going to illuminate the truths of the Bible to you at the right time. How? Because he's going to take the logos and turn it into a personal rhema just for you. And when you see that in your life, into your personal context, it's like the light bulb comes on and you have that aha moment. Right? It's that moment when you say, I get it. I get it. So what does this look like? For some people, I've had this in the past. For some people, it's like they're sitting in a worship service just like this, and the pastor is preaching about whatever subject, and somehow the person in the pew says, has the pastor been looking in the window at my house? Right? It's like pastor's talking just to me. There's nobody else in the room. How does he know about all the stuff going on in my house, in my life? And so people go, how did he know, honey? And here's the reality, friends. People say this to us. They go, pastor, did my spouse email you? Have my kids been talking to you? Have our kids been talking about our home in the kids ministry program? Happens all the time, folks. Did they say something during prayer request time? But folks, the reality is this. As much as I would like to say that us pastors who are up here teaching God's word, that we're really smart people, we're not. Okay, we're just normal people that God uses. The reality is, it's all God. It's God revealing himself and the truths of the word directly to you in the middle of your personal situation. My job is to come up here and proclaim the logos from the platform. God takes that logos and illuminates it right into your life. That is how this works. In fact, some of you have probably had similar situations where God has used you to bring his truth to a friend's life or a friend's situation or a loved one, a cousin or whatever it might be, who was going through a hard time, had a difficult situation. Maybe you were talking with a friend or you're sharing your life with your life with them. Maybe this is going on right now, you're just here right now on Sunday, right? And then you had this time where you remembered a Bible verse. You might have learned it as a young child in VBS, or maybe it was something that Pastor Bob taught you 4 months ago. I don't know. But you had this Bible verse and it came into the situation that you're in. Now, how does that happen? And you're able to share and give love to a person that you care about. Like, what's going on there? It's exactly what we're talking about today. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you of everything that you've learned, right? It's not about how smart or how brilliant you are. It's just the work of God in you and through you as he ministers to people. So this isn't mystical, friends. It's not some sort of special power. It's not some sort of Superman type thing that believers have. No, no, no. It's just the Holy Spirit doing what he does, working in the lives of his simple children, you and me. The ones who actually listen to his voice. Any one of us can experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not in your notes, so it's not in your outline, but if you want to write it to the side, Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, familiar voice to many of you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So that leads us to number 5 in your outline. We need to ask this very logical question. How do I know when it's God who's giving those impressions? How do I know? Well, how do you know, friends? Let's get personal. How do I know? How do I have good discernment? Am I thinking and making stuff up out of thin air? Or am I dreaming? Am I just having wishful thinking? Is this some sort of acid reflex to the bad Italian food that I had, right? How do I know when it's actually God himself giving me impressions and speaking into my life? There are 3 principles that we all have to know. We have to follow them. So letter A. It says, I will always agree with the Bible. It will always agree with the Bible. So whatever impression you're getting, does it agree with the text of Scripture? Now, friends, whatever you're thinking of or whatever you're feeling, whatever you're wondering, if it's from God, it will always, always, always agree with the text of Scripture. 100% of the time. Bible teachers, we call this proof texting. Now, what that means is that the Bible never says one thing in one place and then there's no confirmation anywhere else in Scripture. In school, theology professors used to say, if you come up with an idea and you're the only one coming up with the idea, and then if it doesn't jive with Scripture, you're probably wrong, Mr. Bible student. Okay, y'all with me on that? So, your personal impression, whatever it is, it has to be consistent with the whole of Scripture. Not just one verse, friends, okay? The whole of Scripture. God will never, hear me friends, he will never, ever, ever be inconsistent. Okay? Letter B. Scripture comes alive. Scripture comes alive. Now, how do I know if it's God prompting me? Because Scripture is going to come alive in my life. See, whenever you read Scripture, a good question to ask yourself is this. What did I hear right here as I'm reading? What am I processing? What did this passage say? Those types of things. And so the idea here is to try to resonate with God's voice in his word, and you're looking for ways that the truth can be implemented into your life. Now, friends, hear me out on this. There's all kinds of Bible reading plans out there. Many of them are really good. But if you're reading a verse, and if a certain verse kind of jumps off the page at you, hear me, do not just go, that was interesting. Well, if I need to read on because I got to stay on the schedule or I'm going to get behind, don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to miss something very important. You're going to miss the moment where God is taking the Logos and turning it into a personal rhema just for you. You may not know what that verse means. You may not have a context right now for you to apply it. But I want to encourage you to write down the verse and maybe where it's located at. Put it in your notepad or your journal or whatever it is. You might take some notes. Because hear me, friends, there will come a day, and probably a lot of you are going to be like, oh yeah, there will come a day, a moment or time in the future where you're going to need that verse. Because you're going to have a friend or a loved one or a situation where you're going to need to bring it into. Y'all with me on that? Okay, you've experienced that. If you don't have that written down somewhere, you're going to be like, what was that verse again? Oh, I forgot it. Darn! Because you don't want that to be the situation. So here's the reality, my friends. When God speaks through His Word, and this happens when you read the Bible, it is to teach you something and to change you into His image. Y'all with me on that? Okay. It's not just to give you a bunch of rhetorical concepts. When He speaks, He wants to radically change your life. My friends, I just want to encourage you to pay really close attention to what you're reading and not to just race through the Scriptures, because meditation on Scripture can be a very, very helpful practice for your prayer life, okay? When God takes the Logos, turns it into the Rhema, and now all of a sudden we have certain things to pray for. And pretty soon, what will happen if you're tuned into this is God is going to blow your mind and your prayer life will get exciting and will get very dynamic. And now all of a sudden, your faith is going to be energized and for some people, even revitalized. Y'all with me on this? Amen. All right, letter C. It produces faith. When God gives you these impressions, it's going to produce a deeper and stronger faith in Him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, here's what it says. Apostle Paul's talking. He says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through what? The Word of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something here. The Greek text for this word here is rhema, not logos. So now let's look at it again through that lens. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the rhema of Christ. In other words, the personal word that He gives to you. This, my brothers and sisters, is how your faith in the Lord is going to be able to withstand all of the hard times, all of the storms, and all the stuff that life throws at us. That no matter what comes against you because of God's promise in His Word, specifically to you, His rhema, you can know that God is faithful. And as a result, He will produce strong faith inside of you that is built on a solid foundation, His Word, His promises. Ah, Jesus said, build your house on a strong foundation. Y'all with me on that? Now think about a time in your life when you felt the Lord speak to you. Maybe it was clear as day and you know it was the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart and your life. And He said to you, hey, something specific is going to happen in the future. Later down the road, it's going to happen. Now my question to you is, did it come to pass? Did you ever experience that? And if it did come to pass, the question I have for you is, did it strengthen your faith? And the answer is, yeah, it sure did. So the next time God gives you a personal rhema, hold on to it, my friends. Hold on to it. It is a personal promise to you from God. And He is faithful. Now, the awesome thing is this. God does this sort of stuff all the time. If our hearts are open to Him, He's active in our life regularly. And so this week, I want to encourage you to take some time to pause, to be still and know that He is God, and let the words that you read in Scripture begin to just soak into your soul. Let Him speak to your life. And when the Holy Spirit illuminates the text of Scripture right into your life, you will start to see amazing things happen, and your prayer life is going to become radically different. And all of a sudden, you might start seeing this thing go off the charts, because you're going to experience a faithfulness of God and His power in your life that you probably haven't experienced in a long time. Brothers and sisters, this is how you begin to discover God's voice in your life. He turns the Logos and funnels it into a personal rhema just for you. Amen? Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank You again for this time that we have today where we can come together and we can worship You in spirit and in truth. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy and Your continual work in each of our lives. And Lord, I want to thank You today for Your desire to work for us and in us and to help us to know Your word, Lord, and to listen to You in obedience. So God, our prayer is that You would help us, Lord. Lord, would You help us to tune our spirits, Father, to Your heartbeat. God, Your word tells us that You are the good shepherd. Lord, we want to be with You. We want to be the sheep that listen to Your voice. So, Father, I pray today as we surrender our will to Yours. God, today, let us humble ourselves to know You and to follow You and to do what You're trying to teach us. God, help us to be obedient to Your word. Lord, would You just use the Logos that we read, that we've read today, Lord, just instruct us in personal ways. Help our spirits to be sweet and attuned to You. God, make Yourself known to us clear as day when You're speaking to us. Lord, our desire is to abide in You every moment of every day. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for this day. Be with the rest of our service now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Congregation, would you stand?